berry production was very high in the Yellowstone ecosystem this year, and we're seeing more berry production on a regular basis, probably because of wetter climate conditions, and productivity is very high. So the bears are using berries. It was an excellent white bark pine year, too. So the foods that they have available to them were very plentiful this year, and the bears did very well with them.
And those 20 that were killed or removed, what were generally the circumstances?
We have some bears that are removed because of management conflicts. They may get into human foods like garbage or bird feeders. We remove bears from repeated offenses on livestock depredations. And livestock depredation offenses were the highest cause of removals this year. We have other things that happen. You know, bears can get hit by vehicles or illegally killed or self-defense kills. And occasionally we also have illegal kills, and the law enforcement people are looking into a couple illegal kills this year.
What's the bear population between Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming in the Yellowstone ecosystem right now?
Well, there's two ways to estimate population. The standard way that we use that method is about 750, and that method is a very conservative estimate of the population. Yesterday, the study team reported they have a new method that they're using involving mark and resight of bears from aircraft surveys, and that estimate is less biased and less conservative than the 750 number, and they reported that that number gives them about 1,000 bears in the system. In addition, then the bears that are on the moth sites would be added to that. So there's over 1,000 bears in the system now using the best population estimator that we have in the Yellowstone. We have bears occupying about 19,000 square miles in the Yellowstone ecosystem now. When we started the recovery effort in 1981, almost all of them were within the recovery zone, which is 9,300 square miles. So the bears have more than doubled the area that they occupy, and they've occupied almost all the suitable habitat in the Yellowstone system, the habitat that has foods and lower levels of human activities. And the objective of the Endangered Species Act is to list species, species that are listed under the Act, to the point at which protection under the Act is no longer required. And we are close to that point now in the Yellowstone ecosystem. And so there'll be a decision here from the director of the Fish and Wildlife Service in the next, I don't know, it could be in the next couple months, it could be longer than that, to either propose a new rule to delist the bears or not. I suspect probably in the next 5 to 6 months or maybe sooner we'll see a decision on that. And it's not revoking protection. It actually transfers management under the Endangered Species Act to management under what's called the Conservation Strategy, which is a very detailed management plan that still has strict mortality limits. It has careful habitat management, nuisance bear management, outreach, education, assistance for people living in bear habitat as to how to live with bears. So there's a continuous effort to carefully manage and maintain a healthy bear population after delisting.
You don't think that would open the door to a literal or perceived hunting season on grizzly bears, do you?
Well, there might be a hunting season on grizzly bears. There will be mortality limits in place. And as long as the mortality limits are maintained and we don't exceed those, the bear population will be healthy. And it doesn't really matter if there's a hunt and bears die because of hunting or they die because they get hit by a truck or management removals. They all count against the mortality limit. And as long as we manage within the mortality limits, the population will be healthy.
What about white bark pine nuts? Delisting critics, as you know, say climate change is really going to affect the supply and therefore hurt bears.
Well, yeah, we've done a lot of work. The study team, which is the USGS-led science team in the Yellowstone, did a very extensive analysis of how bears relate to white bark and changes in white bark numbers, because certainly white bark numbers have declined because of mountain pine beetle. And they tried to evaluate whether the decline in white bark would affect the health of the bear population, would it affect reproduction, would it affect survival. What they concluded is that they couldn't measure any change at either the individual level or the population level. Grizzly bears are opportunistic omnivores. They eat over 200 different foods in the Yellowstone system. And when one food declined, like white bark pine, to some extent, they just switched to other foods. Every bear that's handled and captured, we measure the fat level in those bears, and there's been no change in the fat levels of the bears. Reproduction is high, and in fact, last year we counted the highest numbers of females with cubs in the system, and that's after almost 10 years of decline of white bark.
Last question, still bears, but just different area. Earlier this week, a grizzly that was wounded by an elk hunter in the Badger 2 Med, her carcass was found after she had charged the hunter. Hunter shot her, and she succumbed to her wounds. Turns out she and her cubs were feeding on a carcass, and that's what instigated this whole thing. When you hear about these sorts of incidents, what goes through your mind, Chris?
Well, people are allowed to kill bears in self-defense, of course. But what we strongly recommend is that people carry bear spray, because bear spray is a non-lethal and very effective deterrent to bears.
And there are those people who say, no way, there's nothing that could protect me more than a high-powered handgun or rifle.
Well, people think that, but, you know, in these incidents where there might be a sudden charge by a bear, you have to be a very good shot to be able to kill a bear with one shot. And if you end up wounding the bear, potential is that the bear will be even more angry and really can do a lot of damage to you. Versus with bear spray, the spray provides a cone of spray that about 10 feet is about 5 feet wide. And that provides an almost impossible way to miss the bear. You don't have to be very accurate with it. It's going to get in the bear's face and it's going to deter them.
I've been speaking with Chris Servine, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator. Always good talking. Thanks a lot.
Good talking to you.